So my message to the organizers of the gas conference is keep postponing it. You should be scared because we're coming for you, and you don't have a future.
You're listening to EU Watchdog Radio.
For the first time in 17 years, the gas lobby could not raise champagne glasses at their special event. No shoulder rubbing between senior gas industry executives, financiers and decision makers. This year's European Gas Conference was supposed to take place in Vienna between 25 and 27 March. But it has been cancelled, or at least postponed. So, for now, there won't be a new deal on the pipeline that will wreck the climate, communities and environment along the supply chain. I am Marcella Via, Press Officer at Corporate Europe Observatory, and this is EU Watchdog Radio. So, the European Gas Conference did not happen, but that didn't stop CEO from traveling all the way to Vienna to attend the People's Summit, the counter-summit of the Gas Conference, where activists and campaigners come together from all corners of the world to discuss alternatives to fossil fuel dominance. In this episode, I talked to CEOs, climate researchers and campaigners Pasco Savido and Belén Balayá about why this counter-conference is so important and the role of the Fossil Free Politics Coalition in this framework. Before getting to the heart of this episode, let's hear about the Gas Conference, what it is and why it's so bad.
The Gas Conference itself, I mean, this year is supposed to be the 17th year. So they've been meeting in Vienna for 17 years, hosted by OMV, Austria's big like oil and gas company. And yeah, the reason, so it's organized by a lobby group called the Energy Council, who pride themselves on being like the world's most exclusive network of senior energy executives. Like, so it's proper high level stuff. They boast about the number of deals they get signed. You look at their website, they like organize bespoke meetings. So if you buy a ticket from anywhere between what, the 3,500 to like 4,300, something like this, like madness. If you've got that money to buy a ticket, then they organize bespoke meetings for you. So if you say, you look at who's attending and you realize, oh, look, there's a regulator or a decision maker or another oil company and gas company, they will organize meetings for you to meet them. And this happens in, you know, cozy environments where they're raising glasses of champagne. There's like a VIP lounge there where you can have even more informal meetings. And that's what they really pride themselves on. They say this is like 3 days of informal networking. And you know, us at CEO, what our job is to expose how lobbying works. And we don't get access to this at all. So this is really where the power sits, these informal conversations that they say, oh, should we do this? Should we do that? With no one looking, when all they put, you know, what's clearly the most important thing are their profits. Like, they're not thinking, what impact is this going to have on communities and environments? What impact is it going to have on the climate? No, not at all. What impact is it going to have on the EU's ability to cut its emissions and meet the Paris targets? Not in the slightest. So the fact that we've been able to, like, expose it has been really powerful. But we tried to get a ticket this year, and we spoke to the organisers, they said if we were to get a ticket, we'd have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So that's how much they value their privacy, that even if we were to get in, we wouldn't be able to talk about it because they don't want that information getting out. But for me, the fact it's cancelled shows that they no longer feel safe. They no longer feel safe having these private conversations, thinking no one's looking, because we've shone a light on them. The climate justice movement has focused on this conference, and it means that, I mean, from what we understand, they just didn't sell enough tickets this year. That people were too scared to attend the conference because they've been busted.
To better understand why this year's conference did not take place, it is important to remember what happened at the People's Summit the year before, in 2023. Pasco gave me a bit of an overview.
Last year, plastered over the front pages of newspapers, you had Greenpeace doing a massive banner drop out on the hotel. You had like hundreds of protesters trying to block it. We also occupied OMV's refineries. There was thousands of people in demo that we stopped outside the hotel to, you know, give really powerful speeches. And the whole time, the hotel where it was, the Marriott Hotel, was surrounded by riot cops. And imagine those images. Like, so first of all, it moved venue. It wasn't at the Marriott Hotel anymore. I assume because the Marriott Hotel wasn't happy, and then they just didn't sell the tickets and they postponed. So yeah, I think it shows that they need that secrecy to set the agenda, but it's really important that if it comes back, we're able to shine a light on it and we're able to make sure that they don't just find another venue to keep setting the agenda. Because, of course, the European Gas Conference is one example of many. There's going to be more of these conferences. This happens daily in Brussels. You know, we know these sorts of meetings happen daily in Brussels. It's what lobby firms and PR firms are employed by the gas industry to do, to get them access to decision makers. So it's important that we expose those meetings. We make sure that wherever they are, we do shine a light, and we try and stop this, because we can't have the gas industry setting the agenda if we've got any chance of making sure we have a livable planet.
So, yes. It seems that this year, the gas conference didn't take place because of the amazing work climate activists and campaigners did last year. This time, at the People's Summit, we had the chance to talk to some of them, and we asked them to send a message to the organizers of the European Gas Conference. Let's hear what they had to say to the polluters.
So my message to the organizers of the gas conference is keep postponing it. You should be scared, because we're coming for you. And you don't have a future.
They should not forget people are dying, people are suffering from the impact of the gas that they are supporting. And these people, they are human beings. They should put people first before profits.
I'm so happy that polluters understand that us from communities that are impacted by their decisions, we're not gonna stand idly by and allow them to continue to make decisions that impact us and our children. So I'm happy that they canceled this conference, and I want them to know that we're going to keep fighting until all polluters pay for the harm and the damage that they've caused to Mother Earth.
We call upon fossil-free politics. We call upon politics that have got a people-centered approach, that prioritize human rights, that prioritizes renewable energy, that prioritizes paying the debt that is owed to Africa by the global north.
I would love to send a message in particular to Cheniere, which is the fracked methane gas export facility that we have in our community and was one of the large sponsors of the conference. We know who you are. We're not going to stop fighting you. We love our community more than you love money.
We've just heard the voices from the front line. They were our allies from Corpus Christi, Texas, where local communities are resisting the presence of liquefied natural gas. We refer to them simply as LNG during the episode. We have also heard the voices of comrades from Don't Gas Africa, who fight to end fossil fuel-induced energy apartheid in the continent. So, I've asked Pasco and Belen about the People's Summit and their impression of this year's edition.
So they've cancelled or postponed their conference, but we've still gone ahead with our conference, which is the sort of counter summit, the People's Summit. So it's bringing together activists, campaigners, communities from across the world who are fighting gas projects and its impact on their communities, to run workshops, share lessons, strategize, like come together, build the bonds that allows us to carry on fighting beyond Vienna. Because if this conference comes back, we're going to have to come back as well. So it's been really beautiful to see, like hearing folks from Don't Gas Africa, which is a big campaign to stop the EU's dash for gas in Africa. We've had incredible women coming over from Corpus Christi in Texas who have been fighting LNG terminals, petrochemicals, refineries, desalination plants, you name it, they've got it in the south of Texas in Corpus Christi. And they've been sharing not just like what it's like living there and the struggle there, but how they've been organizing the community and base building. So it's been, really inspiring, a lot to take back. And it's been really great to see that our work as CEO has also been like, our work on exposing the corporations has been at the heart of this, like, because this is a corporate run agenda of the European Gas Conference. So it's been great to come here and be able to put on our own workshops and share our own sort of research and learnings with everyone else. So it's been great.
We always do the research on gas, on CCS, on hydrogen, and I myself focus on looking at what is the agenda, what are they doing. But I hardly met the frontline communities affected. So that was, it all makes sense when you hear them, but it also goes like direct to your heart to be really meeting these people. So like the woman that Pasco said from Texas, like hearing them, not just how they organize, but how is their life and how it's affected and how this affected their ancestors, and they're just trying to make that the children won't have to fight the same. It goes directly to your heart, and it makes you realize that this work is so much needed, but that we need to do it together.
With Belen, we also discussed the importance of spaces like the People Summit in a context where powerful corporations have such a huge impact on people's lives and on the climate.
We are looking at how the EU is organizing to bring hydrogen and gas from a lot of places, and they're far, and they sell it here as a decarbonized solution or energy transition, and that's what the public here and people who are really affected are so remote, and that they sell it as a good thing for them, a win-win. You don't see the impact that what we do here is having in other parts of the world. So yeah, it is what would be more important is that not stay in the People Summit, but how we would get this across more places.
Exactly. Belen mentioned hydrogen. During the People Summit, many panelists talked about hydrogen and its impact on local communities. Let's hear Belen's views on it.
So, hydrogen is a part of the gas conference. A lot of people don't relate hydrogen with gas, but the thing is the same industry. It's about the fossil, the oil and gas industry trying to remain in business by moving to hydrogen made of fossil fuel. If there is something that people have to take back from these workshops on hydrogen, is that when you hear hydrogen, you have to think this is fossil industry, this is the fossil gas industry doing business.
We also attended the summit as part of the Fossil Free Politics Coalition, a campaign that works hard to kick big polluters out of politics. So, I have asked Pasco why the work of the Fossil Free Politics Coalition is so important in the framework of the People Summit.
So the European Gas Conference, of course, is a huge lobbying opportunity. As well as senior executives, like Total Energy and Repsol, we had a minister or secretary of state from Romania who's giving a keynote speech, or was supposed to be before the conference was cancelled. And we're supposed to also have someone from the European Commission, the Deputy Director General of TG Energy, Matthew Baldwin. But should he be meeting with the oil and gas industry behind closed doors in a place that forces us to sign non-disclosure agreements? No, not at all. So the Fossil Free Politics campaign has been pushing for a firewall to try and stop the fossil gas industry, the fossil industry in general, from influencing decision makers. So how can we protect our decision makers from their lobby groups? Because we saw the same thing happen in the tobacco control talks. So the World Health Organization realized that the tobacco industry was holding back the ambition of the tobacco control talks, so it introduced a measure called Article 5.3. And Article 5.3 basically said the tobacco lobby has an irreconcilable and a fundamental conflict of interest when we look at the interests of the tobacco lobby on the one hand and public health officials on the other. The tobacco lobby wants to earn money from tobacco, selling tobacco products, and public health officials want to stop us smoking. So they realised the only way to deal with this was to introduce a firewall to protect decision makers from the tobacco lobby, and that's what we've been trying to push for the fossil fuel industry. So if we had that in place, this sort of conference, okay, of course, industry is going to meet. You know, we live in a system where the energy, you know, our energy system is highly profitable, run by big corporations with loads of money. They're going to be doing these sorts of conferences and signing deals, but our decision makers, who are supposed to be publicly accountable, should not be attending these things, should not be being influenced by them, because that's shaping the agenda of the European gas policy and European energy policy. So whilst we were here, it was really cool to see, like, I guess we're trying to spread the message of fossil free politics, getting people to support our message, because we had a hearing recently in the European Parliament making this very point that we need a firewall for fossil fuels, and hopefully we're going to have a vote in the European Parliament where the European Parliament proposes to have similar measures to the tobacco industry for the fossil fuel industry. So that's happening in April. I'm crossing my fingers. I do know that the fossil fuel industry has huge amounts of power, like huge amounts of power to stop this vote happening. We've already seen the right-wing parties pull out of the negotiations of this resolution, which would go to a vote. So, we have to see how it goes. But if it all goes to plan, we could have a vote in the European Parliament and actually call the European Parliament itself, call for a firewall. So this is huge. And that would mean parliamentarians, Commission officials, if this plan was taken to fruition, would not be able to attend the European Gas Conference and all of these secret lobbying meetings that we see. So, yeah.
The vote Pascu is talking about was supposed to take place in the Committee on Petition, or PETI, on April 8 and 9. However, as Pascu predicted, it didn't happen. Member of the European Parliament, Anna Miranda, from the Green Group, called out those responsible for blocking it.
Yo tengo una objeción como eurodiputada del grupo Verdes Alianza Libre Europea y además ya que tenía la responsabilidad en este dossier, que es sobre todo la posición en nombre del grupo Verdes Alianza Libre Europea por la decisión de los grupos del Partido Popular y de Renew de haber abandonado las negociaciones sobre la resolución de las responsabilidades de las empresas de combustibles fósiles en las crisis y en el impacto del coste de la vida, imposibilitando que se tratase este informe en esta comisión.
You have just listened to MEP Anna Miranda denouncing the right-wing European People's Party and the Liberals Renew for walking out of the negotiation on the resolution to hold the fossil fuel companies responsible for the energy and cost of living crisis. The resolution would have proposed the restrictions on fossil fuel lobbying like we have on the tobacco industry. Addressing members of the PETI committee, Anna Miranda lamented the lost political opportunity, which originally came from a public hearing in February and a petition presented by 91 groups from the Fossil Free Politics Coalition. She goes on to say that citizens across the EU have been asking for equity and social justice. However, as EPP and Renew abandoned the negotiations, the vote could not take place. And the living conditions of people during the energy crisis, particularly those facing energy poverty, remain unaddressed. As CEO and a member of the Fossil Free Politics Coalition, we will keep on raising our voices and putting pressure on the European Parliament for fossil free politics. So, we are almost at the end of this episode. But before concluding, I asked Pascu and Belen if they had a message to the organizers of the European Gas Conference. If I had to send my message to the polluters, it would be: get used to it. The climate movement is growing and won't allow you to keep business as usual at our expense.
I would tell them the thing that is going to keep you awake at night now is that you're never going to be able to have this again in peace, because there will be always people summits.
I mean, I'm not going to ask them anything because they're not legitimate actors in this debate, because we need to kick them out. But what I tell them is, yeah, we've got you in our sights and you should be very, very afraid because we're coming for you.
We've reached the end of this episode of EU Watchdog Radio. If you liked this episode, send it to your circle and spread the message. If you wish to help us staying independent, subscribe to our newsletter at corporateeurope.org and follow us on social media. Feel free to reach out if you want to share your views with us. Till next time, ciao!